Stop waiting for permission to start your business. Your idea is one step away, and Shopify can make it easy to make it happen. That's what we did at Crypto 101 and use Shopify to sell our book, and the rest is history. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify Checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101. August is a good time to clean up the closet a little bit. Get rid of the summer stuff that you didn't use, prepare for your autumn wardrobe, and upgrade the basics that you'll actually reach for every week. That's why I like Quince. They make fewer, better pieces that feel premium, but don't come with the luxury markup. For me, the piece I keep coming back to is the 100% European linen drawstring beach pants with the matching shirt. I love wearing them on beach vacations because they're easy, they're breathable, comfortable, and they look put together without feeling like I'm trying too hard. Throw them on during the day, wear them by the water, or dress up a little bit at night. That's the kind of staple I actually use because it has versatility. And that's really what Quince does well. They specialize in everyday pieces that work harder, like ultra-soft organic cotton tees and premium Magnolia and cashmere sweaters that can go from a casual workday to dinner out. If your basics are starting to feel worn out, Quince makes it easy to upgrade with premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60 with the fit, structure, and quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a go-to for everything from hotel quality bedding and bath essentials to premium cookware and travel must-haves. Guys, you've been hearing it for so long now, how I tell you, you have to go to quince.com because the website is so fun for all the options that they have. It's a great website to go click around, and the prices can't be beat. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers. Go to quince.com/crypto101. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/crypto101. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, a special Tuesday edition. It's a two for Tuesday. We've got Hunter, we've got Brendan, and guys, Wall Street is buying crypto. What assets are Wall Street? They're buying the top crypto assets right now. We've got not only the data, but we've got the names that are gobbling up assets. They're longtime legends of Wall Street that are really buying and diving into the crypto assets. And that's why you're here on the Rundown. We're going to break it all down for you. The price action, is ETH breaking out? And we're going to reveal who and what top Wall Street advisors are buying in the crypto space. So let's jump right into it. You see it on the screen here. Fellas, welcome back to the show. Hunter, let's start with you. We haven't heard from you in a while. What are you seeing just in the price action? You see the top 20 there, 1% or up 2% over the last 7 days. Bitcoin 1.8, ETH 2.6, but still in fear in the fear and greed index. What has been your holistic view? Obviously, we're doing content every day at Crypto 101, and on Thursdays, you or Brendan or sometimes both are doing some technical analysis that everybody can check out. But stepping away from the charts, what's your vibe of just seeing the price action from the high level?
Yeah, I think we've had a bit of our price capitulation. In other words, people have kind of surrendered in that regard. Now we're just experiencing some time capitulation. So it's one of the, you know, it's the end of the summer. The kids haven't gone back to school yet, but they're about to. The hedge funds, they're coming back to make their big decisions for the next year, you know, the beginning of September. That's how it always works. And so I'm just seeing a little bit of a lull before the storm. And I do prefer the upside, but I'm treating this as a range, a very tight range. And when we get into range environments, I actually don't really take much of a bias. I just kind of played the extremes of the range. And so we're kind of back to the top end of the range right now. So we'll see if we get some selling here. But we had had a really good day today. Some good volume coming in and kind of confirming a bit of the move up. But we're going to need to see some follow through. Nonetheless, I am the longer we sit down here, the better I feel, because they say never short a dull market. And that usually is the impetus for a squeeze. So I do like it overall.
Love that. Brian has said similar things about that. Brendan, we've said this over the years. It's, you know, they'll shake you out and then they'll wear you out. And again, mm-hmm. kind of going off of what Hunter just said, that feels where we are. So anything, you know, the bird's level view here of you know, price action, fear and greed. What are you seeing?
You know, as I've said a little bit before, I think you are starting to see some early signs of seller exhaustion. We'll see how that continues to play out. But I think this is an area where you want to be paying attention. You want to be looking at what's working. There still is a lot of underperformance across the market. There's some other crypto projects that are really taking off as well. I think if you're looking at the markets right now, you have to play into the strength. You have to see where that strength is. And we're just not in an everything cycle yet. You still have, I would say, a lot of like mid to small caps, more so on the underperforming side. Crypto as a whole is still down. But, you know, I'm a big believer that there's deep value in here. It's always funny that people want to buy the least when it falls, and they always want to buy the most when it's at all-time highs. You know, here we are. We are very close to those cycle lows for a lot of projects. And, you know, there still is that capitulation that I think we're seeing here where people just give up and they don't want to buy and they don't want to accumulate more. And I think that that's a point that you have to reach before a reversal typically happens.
Great points. Great points. We're starting to see a lot of assets gain momentum, whether it's on the charts with the price or people buying them. Like we just said, top wealth advisors on Wall Street are dipping into the crypto assets. And that's what we're going to cover for the rest of the show. But before we do that, we are running a promo. We got the number one coin to own. So we're going to talk about what coins are breaking out. We're going to talk about what other people are buying. Our top Wall Street traders are interested in. But if you want to know what Hunter, Brendan, Bryce, and the rest of the team, they've built a report for the number one crypto to own right now. The link is in the description on YouTube and on our Crypt Nation website. So make sure you check it out. Shout out to the chat. A couple people in there. If you could give us a thumbs up, we really appreciate it. And let us know where you're watching from today in the chat. As we continue on, guys, is Ethereum breaking out? Little momentum over the weekend, stuff you like to see, starting to get some chatter. I remember I just got a notification. I was on a flight and it was like, you know, some crypto account I love to follow. And somebody was like, I can't believe my ETH bags are moving to the upside. So some fun, positive price action in ETH. Brendan, what do you think? I think we got to tune into the charts with you guys later this week to get a full technical breakdown. But what are the vibes like on crypto Twitter?
Yeah, well, I wanted to give a sneak peek of this. You're right. We're going to be covering Ethereum on Thursday, so stick around for that. We're going to have a technical analysis session where we're going to reference this. But listen, ETH's been a big outperformer since the lows came in for Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I would say a lot of the crypto market here so far, if you measure ETH and Bitcoin off of their lows of this cycle, Bitcoin's rallied about 16% from bottom to top. And Bitcoin's rallied about 16% from the bottom to the top, and Ethereum's rallied nearly double that, almost 32% off of its bottom to this most recent top that it put in not that long ago. So you have Ethereum here not only outperforming, I would say, the crypto space as a whole here in the last maybe month and a half or so, but you know, even doubling Bitcoin's performance to the upside. They're right, and I think that this shows it with what I believe to be an Ichimoku cloud on the screen here. But we're going to get more into this Thursday. I would just say it looks as if sentiment is shifting, and you're going to see that as we go through the news here. And the technicals are a reflection of that. So more to come on Thursday. But Ethereum here is getting a nice little push to the upside, and I think this is something we want to continue to follow and keep our eyes out on.
Yeah, and we always follow, you know, who's buying the big names. Obviously, Tom Lee and Bitmine being that DAT that just continues to buy. We've had SharpLink on the podcast not too long ago. We'll get them back in the fall to hear what they continue to do. But it is really the night and day. And we covered this with Brian last week, was kind of the compare and contrast of Tom Lee and Bitmine versus strategies doing with their strategy and their preferred stock and all those things. And it's just been a consistent buy from yeah. Bitmoin. And then one of the most interesting things that I think we saw over the last week is Bank of America making notable moves, kind of putting some chips on the table for Ethereum. Hunter, any interest in Bank of America diving in to whether it's Bitmine or Ethereum in general? Does that tickle your fancy?
It does. It always does. I love when the institutions tell us a few years ago to, hey, we're not getting invested, and all they're doing is silently filling their bags, and then now they're telling you that they have been filling their bags. It tells me that they already knew they were skating where the puck was going. They already knew it, and I'm a big fan of this. I always have been when we see stuff like this, especially with just cumulative ETF flows consistently getting bigger and bigger, both for Ethereum and for Bitcoin. And of course, as Ethereum goes, so does maybe the whole altcoin market eventually. So you do want to see Ethereum kind of be the breadwinner here when it comes from a inflow standpoint on the ETF. So I'm a big fan. This also kind of correlates with a lot of the stuff that's going on, which we're going to talk about later, you know, with the Genius Act and everything like that, as they get a little bit more insight into the guardrails for them allowing to, you know, issue stable coins and stuff like that, that might be allowed to be purchasing Ethereum and stuff behind the scenes. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, it's a great point of, you know, what's the use case for Ethereum? Why would the price be going up? What are the fundamentals behind it? So we'll talk about that Genius Act and a little bit of a Clarity Act update towards the end of the show. But then, Brendan, building on what Hunter just said, you sent this link in, is the RWAs are just, you know, continue to go up and to the right. So, you know, your take on that plus Bank of America dipping their toes in. I don't know about you, but dinner sneaks up on me all the time. I'll open the fridge and realize I have no protein ready. And at that point, I'm not trying to go to the store, make a last minute grocery run, and gamble on whatever meats or burgers are left at the store. That's why Omaha Steaks is a great freezer move. It's like having a trusted butcher at home and quality protein when you need it the most. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation with over 100 years. It's the same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped straight to your door. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. Your family will think dinner took hours, but it didn't, just minutes. And if you never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect place to start. You get 20 premium steak burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak. 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, and 4 sirloin burgers. Guys, this is the altcoin basket of burgers right here. If me and Brian were on the rundown, we would be divvying these up 50-50 because you know how we like to grill in the summer. So you're not just getting a box of burgers, you're getting different flavor profiles, different textures, and real steakhouse style variety you can throw on the grill or cook up fast during the week. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Everybody is talking about AI right now, but the AI that actually matters is the kind that saves you time, helps you make smarter decisions, and takes work off your plate. And if you're running an e-commerce business, shipping is one of those things that can either keep you moving or completely slow you down. That's why I like ShipStation. It's an end-to-end order fulfillment platform built for e-commerce businesses, and its AI is trained on decades of real shipping data from billions of shipments across the world. So instead of juggling a bunch of different tools, ShipStation helps you stay in control. It can alert you when your stock is low, recommend the best carrier selections and rates, automate tasks, and help you save time as you grow. You also get inventory syncing across sales channels, automatic rate shopping, a branded returns portal, and integrations with accounting and CRM software, all in one place. If I were running an e-commerce store, this is exactly the kind of tool I'd want, because once the orders start coming in, you don't want shipping to be the thing that's holding you back. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code crypto. That's ShipStation.com, code crypto. ShipStation.com, code crypto. Taxes and fees apply. You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always the headcount, budget, or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves, and suddenly everybody's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform trusted by 94% of the Fortune 500. It captures workflows as they happen and turns them into step-by-step documentation your team can review and share. You just do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot automatically. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps and opportunities to simplify or automate. To see what Scribe could look like for your org, head to scribe.how/crypto101 and mention Crypto101 for your first month of Scribe Capture free on select plans. That's Scribe, scribe.how/crypto101.
Yeah, you have everyone kind of dipping their toes in here and getting more involved with Ethereum. I think that the narrative here has really shifted from where it was even 6 months ago, a year plus ago. There was a pretty bearish vibe and sentiment around Ethereum, and there was a much more bullish sentiment on Solana. I think what you've seen here is the recovery of the Ethereum narrative, and it get really strong here as there's been consistent growth and adoption across not only Ethereum, but also across some of these big infrastructure or industries that are kind of related to Ethereum, stablecoins, RWAs, tokenization, some other ones as well. But this is a great example of that, saying, hey, you know, you have institutions coming in, you have people switching away from Bitcoin and maybe other chains and focusing on Ethereum. You have a lot of funds growing. And here it's saying, you know, the RWA market cap is continuing to go up and to the right here when it relates to Ethereum as well. So I do think what you're doing here is setting up a lot of the infrastructure for future success. And Tivo, this is something I think that we've talked a lot about in the past 2 weeks, is talking about why I think that there is a huge gap between what has happened with Ethereum and where it's currently priced at. And I don't think a lot of that is priced in. Again, that's my personal belief, but I think that there's a huge disparity between the amount of adoption and growth that Ethereum has seen and where people are trying to place it down the road, especially some of these big traditional financial players, and how they're looking at it, you know, a year, 5 years, 10 years from now, and I think how it's currently being priced. And I just think that that's what capitulation and bearishness does. And again, I just think that there's a little bit of a misunderstanding here when it comes to ETH, which is great. I think, you know, if you're like me and you believe in that, then I think that there's a great opportunity. But now, you know, we'll see. But this is just another chart kind of showing that, hey, there are a lot of things on ETH. You know, just because we're in a bear market, just because we're coming off, you know, what, a 60% retracement plus off the highs, it does not mean that there's not a tremendous amount of stuff going on behind the scenes and that there's not a lot of, you know, good growth numbers, because there is. Happy to show this, happy to kind of show everyone a peek of what's happening behind the scenes. And we do this a little bit, you know, week by week, right? We'll show one sector 1 week, we'll show the next sector. This week, you know, we're showing the RWA stuff and big funds looking at going away from, you know, something like Strategy and over into Ethereum. But a lot still happening here. And it feels like that's been a trend for a bit now.
Yeah, a lot is happening. And as we move along outside of Ethereum, there's some interest on Wall Street for some top crypto assets. The 13F filings came out. And for those who don't know, the 13Fs, when those come out, you get to see, you know, the top investors in the markets kind of have to show what they're investing in. And it is delayed. It's not like this happened last week. I believe they're quarterly, gentlemen. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So quarterly 13Fs are coming out, and we have two to touch on here, one with Bitcoin and then one with hype. Do you want to stick around for the hype one? Because I find that really interesting. But we'll start with PTJ, Paul Tudor Jones, continuing to show confidence in Bitcoin. He's a long-term Bitcoin holder. He's been around, but I think you love the number one. You still see him around and not sell, and then buying at these levels shows a lot of conviction of the in the wear you out phase. So the 13F for Paul Tudor Jones came out. Fellas, interested in that no news?
I would say that this is important, right? He's been someone who's been pretty bullish on Bitcoin as a whole. However, I believe he was selling a little bit, and maybe, I forget where the exact post was, but to see him getting bullish and buying in here again, I think is a net positive. Right. So historic investor, not someone that I definitely want to be fading. So if he's coming in here and looking like he wants to be a buyer, then I want to be bullish with that. I think that that's net good news.
Yeah. Just a quick Google. Forgive me if I don't have the price. No, I was just going to build on Brendan's point. He was he never completely sold out of his position, but he was trimming all of 2025, which, you know, in hindsight, being 2020, that wasn't a bad play. And then, you know, as we get into 26 here, he's adding, you know, averaging back in. So as of now, looks like, you know, that sell off or trim was a good call, and he's dipping his feet back in.
I think you're seeing that across the board, too, right, is that people are really starting to dip their feet back in. Last week, Tivo, we talked about how hedge funds on CME are net long here, which is a very rare thing to see. You're also starting to see that I think that there are signs, again, that buyers are coming back and that there's interest coming back. I would say that this is just another example of that. You know, even the bears who have been somewhat bearish, whether it's short-term or long-term, I think that you are starting to see big money, smart money, whales, whatever you want to call it. I think you're seeing signs that they're coming back with a lot of interest, and they're saying, hey, you know, we're starting to see value down here, and that's a really good thing.
Yeah, go ahead, Hunter. Sorry to cut you off earlier.
I was just going to say, wasn't his investment kind of prowess all from like oil or the energy sector or something from the past? Is he a big oil tycoon? I can't remember what his investment, because I was going to say, if that's the case, like that's such a juxtaposition to crypto, so you would like to see that kind of crossover. But I might be getting him mixed up with somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know about his oil holdings there, but yeah, just obviously a long-term Bitcoin holder, but somebody that clearly has been in the markets a long time, has a big diversified portfolio, has risk management. And you can kind of see from, you know, his sell-off in 2025, probably, you know, just rules that he follows for gains that he had, trim some off, and now he's buying the dip. One of the most interesting things I saw from this last week is Stanley Druckenmiller, another long-time veteran of the markets. I think a lot of people would put him up in their top of historical funds that have performed really, really well. So the Stanley Druckenmiller Family Office has entered hype through PURR. The macro legend now has hype exposure through the equity wrapper. And I find this really interesting for a long time veteran to get into this. I was thinking either the research led him to hype or they have some really, really cool intern at the Stanley Druckenmiller office this summer. Brendan, what do you take into this? It's not a huge position, but traditionally, you know, with his type of investing style, they buy and they have a thesis and they hold.
I am kind of surprised that they bought the Hyperliquid strategies as opposed to just outright Hyperliquid through like an ETF. I would have thought that that would have been the move. So I'm a little bit surprised by that. I'm not surprised by them getting Hyperliquid exposure, right? You've seen it have a pretty strong pullback off of the highs. Hyperliquid, you know, really falling back in. I think it was about a 33% move from its all-time high back down here recently. You have seen a little bit of a bounce. You know, I think it bounced just over 10% back up a little bit. So I think they're looking at this thing saying, hey, you know, there's astronomical numbers of what they've been able to put out. I think that they have a pretty good tokenomic structure, and they're saying, hey, you know, we're going to be buying this thing, you know, even after its little rebound, it's still down over 20% from the highs. And I think they're looking at that. And I think that this is a broader move to say, hey, we can get exposure to something that has been fairly strong. We can also get a little bit of crypto-related exposure here. I'm not surprised by this. You know, I think even if you are someone who believes maybe Hyperliquid has some more downside, I think we can all kind of look at it and be wildly impressed with what they've been able to achieve. And this, I would agree with you, Tivo. I would look at this and not saying, oh, this is a quick little day trade. They're going to be in and out of this thing here in the next day or week. I think they're looking at this and saying, hey, it's okay if it goes a little bit lower. It's okay if it goes higher immediately. It would look as if this is more of a long-term play for them, saying, hey, we want to get some exposure to this. We'll kind of play it through for a while. And I would largely agree with that. That does Hype have more upside in the long term? I think so. I think you can look at their stats and be pretty freaking impressed. What happens in the short term here, a little bit more up in the air. But yeah, overall, I would agree. You know, I like Hyperliquid for the long term. And the only thing that catches me off here is them going through a DAT as opposed to maybe an ETF of Hyperliquid itself.
Fair point. Hunter, excited for the family office of Stanley Drunken Miller to getting into Hype here.
Yeah, I mean, I love family offices. They seem like an awesome place to work at. And, you know, keeping that money in the family is pretty hype. I do like that. But I think something also is interesting is because a lot of these family offices invest through warrants, and even they also are part of, like, you know, private equity sales or initial coin offerings, but in the equity world. And so I'm sure that they were looking at Hype and seeing all these people trade the pre-IPO Hype all the time. And then they're like, oh, that's an interesting kind of modality. We can't do that through our natural channels of investing. Not that they, you know, are going to be able to do that by just buying PER, but I'm sure that that was of some interest. I would like to see if they do get involved with, you know, more like Robinhood and maybe some of like the lighter thesis, just because the only thing we've talked about with Hyperliquid is if it's going to get a U.S. jurisdictional like bid. That is, I think, maybe one of the issues regarding Hype going forward is if Hyperliquid would be, you know, will perps be allowed to trade through Hyperliquid, like the U.S. jurisdiction open up? Because it seems like there is some sort of regulatory arbitrage happening behind the scenes between some of the exchanges. And that's the only problem I would have with, you know, a purchase like this regarding Hyperliquid. But I think, you know, if you're allocating there, you know, a certain percentage, it's part of their portfolio management model. It's a diversified bet and it seems like it bodes well for Hyperliquid in the future. So still fam.
Yeah, hype on hype here for sure. It feels like these type of purchases and this type of noise really kind of solidifies that, hey, crypto is not going away. And there's been a lot of, I don't know if discomfort's the right word, but just like disappointment of the Clarity Act, you know, this year, thought it was going through. Everybody had their eyes before the break here in August, and it didn't get through the government. But now, as we've been saying on this program, with the interviews that we put out with Bryce from the Out East conferences, now the narrative is, you know, we don't need the Clarity Act. We're moving forward. And Treasury Secretary Bessent says that the Treasury is moving quickly to implement the Genius Act. Obviously, it got voted in, but then it takes time for this to go through and get implemented. And that's part of what the interview that we published, I guess it's almost 3 weeks ago now, with the former CFTC chairman, is that, hey, there's things that can be done to integrate these crypto rails into the finance system. And Chris Perkins, who has also been on the show many times, and we saw and talked to him at the Out East conference as well, is kind of saying the same thing. Hey, the current chairman, the SEC, we're working towards implementing this stuff. So crypto is going to be just fine. And then you have things like, or you said you're seeing a lot of Clarity Act talk, Brendan, as well. Something that we'll cover later this week with Brian. We got our eyes on this meeting for Wednesday, based around, let's see, crypto, Coinbase, A16Z, Gemini, Robinhood. Some TradFi is going to be there. And then I think some prediction market people are going to be there as well. And then what we'll do to tee up this segment is we're going to watch a clip of the Citibank CEO talking about the Clarity Act as well, how they wanted it to go through. So even though this thing feels like it's quote unquote dead on arrival, as they say, or not even getting the vote, it's still a huge topic of talking points. So let's listen to the city CEO and then we can break it down, fellas.
We're in digital assets, many of us are. It's got some fantastic technology and we want to have good regulation that supports innovation and also encourages a safe adoption of the capabilities of digital assets. We're certainly not giving up on trying to get some more improvements to the Act, because let's look at the US financial system. Smaller banks play a very important role in the rural communities and throughout America. And if you are having a reward system on the deposits, it could have a detrimental impact on their deposits and therefore their ability to provide lending and access to credit in parts of the US that crypto won't reach, and frankly, the large banks don't reach. So I'm worried about it from that perspective. I also want to make sure that you've got fair competition, a level playing field, so the same activity gets the same legislation and regulatory rules. And no one wants to see financial crimes being promoted. Fraud's already been a problem of late in the financial system, and this could promote it even further if you don't have good legislation. So
again, just the talking point of, hey, the CEO of Citi wants to work constructively to get the guardrails to push this through. And we got the meeting on, again, on Wednesday. So all that in. Brendan, where are we with this? The Polymarket odds, you know, for the whole year have been from 35 to 70% about in the range. And now they've plummeted down to, Brian, I checked last week, it was like 10%. So what's our take on this?
Yeah, the take here is that if this didn't get passed before the recess in Congress, then the odds and likelihood of it tank. And we saw that happen. We saw exactly that happen. It didn't get passed. There was lots of talk of it, but there's been lots of talk, right? One of the things that we've talked about over here, maybe it was back internally, kind of behind the scenes, is just this idea that there's been lots of conversation of, oh, it's going to happen. We're going to stay through the weekend. We're going to get this done. And you've heard a lot of that only for it to not come forth. I think now there's mounting pressure to really get this done before midterms, right? Because I don't think a lot of people are happy. There were, I would say, you know, we talked about this, TiVo, on the rundowns about 2 years ago about how crypto was a real campaign point for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people voted based on crypto, and if you don't believe it, go back and watch those episodes. It was a really big campaign point in the last election. I think now what you're going to get is you're going to have a lot of people who are probably upset. If that was such a major campaign point last time, I think this time you're going to be looking at it, and you're going to have a lot of those people that probably are more middle of the line. Again, not super far left, not super far right. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are more central and that are hurting from this and didn't see this legislation, you know, kind of go through. And I think that that's going to be potentially a tipping point for them. So again, I think that there's mounting pressure to get this done. And you can see, again, at least I've noticed it over here, I'm sure a lot of us have, there's been a lot of talk lately about getting this thing done, and you know, executives like this are being brought in and they're setting up these White House meetings about crypto. You're seeing a lot more chatter about this than I think we saw in the first half of this year. And again, I think that that's largely due to mounting pressure as we enter towards midterms, and there's going to be a really small window to get the crypto market kind of back on its feet, back into a bull market, and get something like this passed, which could be the catalyst to maybe propel us back into a bull market. But I think that there's a very small window to get that done. So there's a lot of chatter behind the scenes. There's a lot of talk stuff here. Again, really nothing can happen until probably almost sometime in September, I would imagine, at the very earliest. But then again, you're entering into a pretty small time window. So the big takeaway is that I think that there is mounting pressure. I think that there is clearly a lot going on here. And you can see that there is a lot more intentionality about, you know, really helping the crypto space, at least more than we saw in the first half this year. So fingers crossed that means something. Fingers crossed we can see this get done. If you remember earlier in the year, you would see Jamie Dimon come on and basically said, hey, we're not word for word, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically saying we're going to die on this hill of getting it our way. And you saw most of the other financial space not really agreeing with that level of extremism, kind of saying, hey, let's go back and forth. I think you have Coinbase on one side of the extreme and you might have JP Morgan on the other. But I think now you are really starting to see both sides, dare I say, capitulate a little bit, come towards the middle and say, let's just get this thing through. We know it's going to be a net positive. And so we'll see. But there definitely is a lot more attention being directed towards this. And I hope that that means something.
It's a great point of action is needed, I think, because the, like you said, the crypto community was a big cohort for the last election cycle. And I think it will be again for this election cycle. It's only gaining more. It's a different type of momentum, but it's gaining more momentum, especially as this industry matures and kind of folds in with the traditional financial markets as well. But I think if you're a core individual crypto person that's looking on where and how they want to vote, the talk's not going to work anymore, because that's what we've covered the first year and a half of this administration is like, hey, a lot of things said, a couple things delivered, and some of them in more unique ways than others. And I just think like the jawboning isn't going to move people to vote. It's the action that's going to be taken from now until November. And so that'll be interesting to see what gets done. But Hunter, how are you looking at this? Any part of it? Give us your take.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they file a cloture, so that we are going to get something here in the middle of September, once the day after they come back from Congress. So we will have some update there. I think with all of this, the main thing is just, you know, investors want certainty. We just want specific dates, because once you can kind of have dates, you can put those compliance stuff into your models, and investors can trade around that. But when everything is just up in the air, I think this is always going to get pushed down into the legal framework of our society. It's just a matter of when are those specific dates going to happen, so investors can at least anticipate it accordingly.
Yeah, and then again, just as we're on the program here, I'm still seeing, just as we've talked about, this just fired off literally as 30 seconds ago. It's like SEC officially proposes new rules to create clear regulatory framework for crypto. So it goes back to that thesis of, you know, the Clarity Act, something that I think the industry really wants. But with the SEC chair and the current CFTC and the leadership, they're going to push through it, and they have the power to implement stuff. And that stuff, if it gets implemented the right way over the next couple of years, it's going to be too far along to get unwound. So, you know, the Clarity Act maybe or maybe not being dead, I don't think wrecks the industry like some people were maybe discussing, you know, months ago. I think, you know, cooler heads will prevail there. And why wouldn't it? Because crypto's leading the way, right? The NASDAQ officially begins talks with regulators to enable 24-hour stock trading. I've seen this get talked about. I've seen something more specific on something getting pushed through sooner before the 24-hour. It might be like a 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. session or something. You know, we like to trade. We're all about, you know, crypto on 24/7, 365. So what are your thoughts here? We kind of always said, Brendan, it was inevitable. Eventually, this is going to happen, whether it's for the better or for the worse, honestly, because I think there's a lot of people that might not be able to handle this, especially when there's volatility as they're trying to watch their Netflix and chill. But it's going to happen.
It's an inevitability for sure. We've talked about this for forever. It just makes sense. There's no reason that with the current tech stack that we don't have something like this. What does that mean? It means more trading for them. More trading means more fees if they're making more money. I think that's a good thing. And it allows people to trade at all times of the day. So I think that they benefit because they're probably going to be getting more volume, probably more trades. And also it allows us as investors to be able to react to stuff at any point. And I think that that's also a really good thing. So I think we continue to move in this direction. I would be shocked that, you know, if in several years we can't trade 24/7. And maybe it's never fully 24/7 across the board, because it would be hard to operate Wall Street on that basis. You know, they already work crazy hours on Wall Street and a lot of these banks. You'd have to really adjust the business model to have people in the office at all points of every single day. But I do think that as retail investors, we should get more access to this. And I say that like everyone would get access to this, but I think that there will be like slight limitations on like what does 24/7 trading mean or what does 24/5 trading mean. I think we'll learn more about that. But yeah, I see trading hours being expanded regardless.
Yeah, if you're a finance person that's been in the industry for 10, 20, 30 years, you're punching air at seeing this stuff starting to come out. You do not want to have to deal with this.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, if, for people who don't know, Wall Street is like notorious for working like insane hours, right? It's like you'll have like a 16-hour day or an 18-hour day, and you go home, you get a few hours of sleep, and then you go right back to it. And that's like the typical Wall Street schedule a lot of the time. And then they're looking at this now, and it's like, well, at least the weekends are like the one bit of rest that you do get. And then now you're looking at this thinking there's not going to be any off hours. There's not going to be any time to catch up. There's going to be less time for sleep, less weekends. So yeah, I think you're right, Tiba. You probably are punching air, but us in the crypto space, we're used to this. Maybe we're numb to it. We're used to the markets trading 24/7. It's what we are a part of here, and we have been for a while. So maybe we're the best positioned in terms of a mental state going into this.
Yeah, it reminds me of the one of the Dark Knights. It was, you trained in the dark. I was born in it for Batman and Bane. Hunter, are you gonna be staying up all night trading the NASDAQ?
Oh, you know it. Not that I already don't, but I'll definitely be up all night. It's funny, money never sleeps, so that's Wall Street. But I guess the exchanges were sleeping for a little bit. But now they've had a little bit of the proof of concept by seeing stuff like on Hyperliquid or these other kind of tokenized stock platforms where you can trade perps through the night or through the weekends. You can trade, oil through the weekends. And so that's been really helpful, especially during this geopolitical, conflict, is because you can actually see what the market is, trying to see how it might open on a Monday. And it's actually been pretty predictive. So I think they see that. And I guess, you wonder if it'll make the market more efficient. It probably will, because I think, the longer there is information and you're trading on it, the more efficient it becomes. And now that's the only thing, is that going to be an issue for the big banks or hedge funds that are making these decisions off inefficiencies? Maybe. Then that could maybe be one, I guess, reason to not push it from their end. But other than that, I think the fees alone for exchanges, there's no reason to deny it. It has to be that way.
Yeah, like we said, it's coming, and we'll leave you with the correct part of the Here we go. We'll leave you with the correct meme here. It was, and I'll even give you a Bane impression, fellas, for a little Tuesday. It's like, you barely adopted a dog. I was born in it. So that's what's happening. Traditional finance is going to meet the crypto bros and the 24/7 trading, and the old heads are going to not be happy about having to figure out how to adjust their teams. But that's going to do it for today. I really appreciate everybody tuning in. Solid live here. We got Jesus Saves. What's up, brother? Michael's here. DP64 is here. PR, we're ready for the bull stampede. Clarity Act will not pass, but we don't need it. Somebody shouting out Robin Hood and the bear only lasts 1 year. We're ready for the bull. Really appreciate everybody tuning in for the live. One last call. Give it a like. If you're new here, on the bottom right, hit our logo and subscribe. Thanks everybody for tuning in. But that's all for now. We'll see you later this week. Bye-bye, everybody.